Hey, Nick, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I think a lot of people are familiar with your work with the Found Footage Festival. I know that's kind of how I was initially introduced to you. And yeah, you're out in California. You say you're on the road a lot. I know you live in New York, but you do make it a point to get to your hometown of Stoughton, Wisconsin a lot. What keeps bringing you back here? What do you love about it?
Well, my parents are there, for one, so I'm always back. But I am so grateful that I grew up in a fairly small town because there just wasn't a lot to do. Mm-hmm. And so we had to kind of make our own entertainment. And, you know, I just think if I grew up in California or New York or something, I would just constantly be occupied and wouldn't have any time to think of dumb ideas.
Yeah, and that desire to kind of find something to do in your hometown is sort of where the idea for the Found Footage Festival came from, wasn't it?
Yeah, we, the co-founder of the festival, Joe, and I both grew up in Stoughton, and I was working at McDonald's there and found a training video. A buddy of mine was training to become a manager and had to watch like 30 different VHS training videos. So he showed me one called Inside and Outside Custodial Duties, which was a training video for
That's
McDonald's janitors. They tried to have a plot to it where there's this crew trainer, and she's training in this dopey janitorial trainee. It's his first day on the job, and he just can't wait to clean the garbage out and clean the bathrooms. And she says if he cleans really hard, he could hope to one day see Mick C.
Before we get started, Chris, do you have any questions?
Yes. What's a McSee?
I'm sorry, that's McDonald's language. We call the custodian the McSee because, well, there's clean, and then there's McDonald's clean.
And maybe it's just me, but I sense some palpable sexual tension between the crew trainer and the trainee, and it was just so weird that we would have friends over to watch this video, you know, a Friday night in Stoughton in my parents' basement. We'd pop in McSee, and that sort of spurred us into thinking, man, if there's videos this ridiculous right under our noses, you know, imagine what else is out there.
I'm hearing that, like, the secret to creative genius is absolute boredom.
True. I think a lot of the best ideas are born out of being totally bored and not having a driver's license. And so that was where our formative years were. And, you know, I think that's where a lot of the ideas came from.
And it seems like, too, that this idea of being bored and great ideas coming out of that probably led a lot of people back in, like, the 70s and 80s to pick up a video camera and really experimenting, and anything goes on camera.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, especially after Jane Fonda's Workout hit big in, you know, 1982, that was like a million seller. So it was the gold rush. Mm. You know, all these mom and pop producers got on board trying to come up with the next best thing, and home video, you know, straight to video releases. And so you got all sorts of weird experimental things. Like, we found a video called How to Identify Machine-Made Marbles. Like, that.
Very specific.
What?
Yeah, it was deemed worthy that there be an audience for a video that specific. So,
what is a machine-made marble, and how do I identify that?
Well, I have a 60-minute video that'll give you all the answers you're looking for. 60 minutes.
Well, and we've got a couple of clips here from some videos from the Found Footage Festival. Here's one that's, gosh, this has got to be one of my personal favorites. This is the Rent a Friend video. I think we've got that audio here to play.
Hi. I'm Sam, and basically I'm here because I want to be your friend. What's your name?
Chris.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about you now. Like, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm...
That's a nice part of the country. You know, was your mother overprotective by any chance?
This turned into therapy really quick.
Yeah, it did.
Watch this.
I'm watching.
Whoa, it's like I have a rubber nose. I used to make this noise. It's a noise that means I'm very excited and very, very happy. And I'd like to do it for you right now.
What is happening? This feels like a really uncomfortable date.
What did we just hear, Nick? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, Rent-A-Friend is, by the way, we've since met Rent-A-Friend, and he made that noise for us. So I can die happy. check that one off the bucket list. The video was made in 1987, and I think this was around the time that, like, video fireplaces were coming out and VCR games were, you know, they're sort of interactive. And so his idea is, well, there's a lot of lonely people out there. maybe we should just have a virtual friend. So yeah, he, for 45 minutes, extemporaneously talked to you as if he was your friend and probably revealed a little too much about, but 10 minutes in, it gets past small talk and gets into some pretty heavy stuff. So, but it's just this very strange relic of that time. And I guess it didn't sell that well, but I'm happy we found it.
Well, and here's one more clip. It's a rock and roll vocal instructional video from the bassist from everybody's favorite band, Vanilla Fudge.
You now have enough breath, literally, for the next 20 seconds. Shall I demonstrate it? Okay.
May.
A little too much breath.
May.
Try this. May. Give me a may.
May.
All right, so I feel like I'm now ready to sing rock and roll music. What's the story behind this one, Nick?
Yeah, this is a video called Rock Vocals. It's an instructional video, and I love that people on public radio just had to hear that. There's something that really... They're waiting for Wait, Don't Tell Me to come on, and they had to listen to that. So this guy, Tim Bogert, whose hair looks a little bit like cotton candy, very wispy, and... he's there wearing a lot of denim and instructing students on how to get better breath, how to do better vocals. And we find a lot of vocal instructional videos, and they're all funny. There's just something very funny about making those noises.
In preparing for this interview, I sort of did what anyone would do for a good first date, and I kind of looked at your social media presence and checked out what you got going on there.
I'm flattered.
thank you. You've got a kind of an interesting tradition that you've got going on with your mom. You dress her in heavy metal T-shirts.
Yeah, I think this was just I don't know. I was bored, and I think my mom is such a Wisconsin mom. You know, if she likes music at all, it's like Josh Groban or Mannheim Steamroller Christmas. You know, that's sort of her musical taste. She is not a heavy metal person at all. So I just had an image of my mom wearing the Metallica shirt that terrified me when kids wore it in middle school, which is a knife sticking out of a toilet.
Wow.
And I was like, that would be really funny to see my mom wearing that, like, in our backyard watering plants or something. So I found the T-shirt at a thrift store or a vintage shop somewhere and brought it home. And my mom is nothing if not a good sport. So since then, she's posed... you know, with her crossword puzzle and a Cannibal Corpse T-shirt. The more morbid, the better, I'll dress her up in. And so now she said she occasionally gets recognized as the metal mom around town. So that really amuses me.
How was that first conversation with your mom? Was she like, Nick, this shirt is too edgy for me?
No, it's more about the fit. It's more about like, ooh, this one's a little bit tight, you know. Can you get a more flattering angle? But no, I think I've always involved my mom in dumb things like this. So she's used to it. This is old hat for her now.
One thing that you also do is you, I understand, print out fake fruit stickers and take them to the grocery store, put them on the fruit in the grocery store, take pictures of them, and then leave. What's up with that?
I don't know. I was in a grocery store and saw, you know, a sticker on a banana. And I just thought, oh, man, this is like a ripe canvas, pardon the pun there, for doing, you know, for jokes. And so, yeah, I mean, I just got some sticker paper and printed out, you know, for example, it would say Haas avocados. And then it would say ripe for a window of 30 seconds. Or, you know, there's other ones that, like, a banana has a Chiquita sign and it says, awfully phallic, don't you think? You know, it's just like dumb jokes about fruit. And I did get caught putting one on one time at a grocery store in my neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
And I was taking a picture of it and the grocer came up and was like, can I help you? And I said, just making sure it's a fresh one. And then I ran out. I just kind of, like, did a speed walk out. I got busted, caught red-handed.
So you've got some slogans for some of the low-hanging fruit, if you will. What about some of the tougher ones? What if I said pomegranate? What would be a slogan for that?
Pomegranate, I would do one that says, I don't know how to eat me either. I think I cannot figure out how to eat a pomegranate. I've tried, but I think that is the toughest thing.
That makes two of us. What about rutabaga? This is one that Halima and I couldn't actually agree on what a rutabaga actually was before this interview.
I essentially thought a rutabaga was an eggplant. I recently found out that it is not.
I think it's like a beet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is purplish. I think I did one for rutabaga, a similar fruit, where it was, never heard of me? You're about to get 30 pounds of me from your CSA. Because I think that's generally how it goes. It's like, what is kohlrabi? Well, it doesn't matter. You're going to get a huge basket full from your CSA delivery that week. So pretty specific joke, but that's how I felt about it.
So you've got Found Footage Festival is going to be Volume 8, coming up with a new tour. What's going to be new this time around? What can we look forward to?
We finally did something with all the religious videos we found over the years. So we did a montage called 101 Jesuses. And it's exactly what it sounds like. This took us months to put together. This is our Sistine Chapel, so we're proud of that. And just the usual exercise videos and training videos and weird home movies and other artifacts we found on the road last year.
And I understand that you also inherited Dave Letterman's VHS collection when he retired from a show a couple of years back. Did you find anything interesting in there, and how did that come about?
Oh, man, it's so good. Well, I used to work at the Letterman Show. I worked there for about 5 years, and I was the head researcher on the show. So I would try to find old embarrassing footage of celebrities when they were on. And so there's a lot of VHS tapes in the archives from that. But also, there was a regular bit on the show called Dave's Video Collection, where the writers would find tapes for Dave to hold up, and he'd talk a little bit about them and show a few seconds from them. And so when the show was ending, some friends I still have at the show called up and were like, hey, would you want Dave's entire video collection? These are going to go in a dumpster. And, I mean, before I could hang up the phone, I was in the car driving to the Ed Sullivan Theater to load up as many as I could. And there's a video about ferrets giving birth. There's a Mickey Rooney how to act video where he's just becoming a little unhinged. There's Pete Rose baseball video where none of what he says makes sense. There's one called Nude Cigar Smoking. So let that one sit in for a second. there's one about how to raise goats. I don't know where all these came from, but it was this incredible archive. So, we spent months digging through all these and could probably do like a 5-part series, but I kind of have a best of montage cut together for Volume 8 of our tour.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did see the ferret birthing video this morning, and that was probably something.
Sorry.
And it was in the montage, so it kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think I would have clicked specifically on ferrets giving birth, but because it came right after, you know, like the Pete Rose baseball advice thing, I wasn't really expecting it, but it made my day interesting.
Well, we're not above ambushing people with footage like that, so I think exactly what we wanted to happened on that.
And before we let you go, any other projects or anything that you're working on that we should know about? Or should we be keeping an eye on your social media pages for any interesting stuff that you've got coming up?
Well, I've been really trying to find boy band T-shirts to put on my dad. But
that's
the problem is they're all not adult male sized. So that project stalled. But Found Footage Festival is going to be playing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year for the first time. So the entire month of August will be there. It's the biggest arts festival in the world, and it'll be interesting. We'll be doing the show every day for a month, so that'll be a first for us. Pretty excited.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks so much for entertaining us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Imagine, like, meeting him for the first time and be like, what do you do for a living? How would he answer that question?
And, I mean, have you looked at this guy's Facebook page at all?
I haven't, but I am super into the idea of seeing his mom and band T-shirts. I'm very much a fan of making your parents like the stars of your jokes.
So Nick talked a lot about pranks that he's played. Have you ever played like a really good prank on somebody? Or, I mean, do you like playing pranks on people?
No, absolutely not. I am too lazy. I make tea because I'm too lazy to put coffee grounds in the coffee maker.
Okay.
Yeah, I am a spectator. Nick grew up in a small town. He had the opportunity to be bored.
Mm.
I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago.
Mm.
So our pranks,
you had stuff.
Yeah, there was like too much going on. I remember this one time I don't know, someone was babysitting me and my friends. We made up this game called Lotion Potion. And we were basically 11 or 12 years old. And we wanted to create our own lotion. So we took everything we found in the bathroom. Yeah, I was basically trying to pickle myself at 11 so I would be preserved until 100. that's what the goal was here. So we took shampoo, conditioner, shaving cream, actual lotion, mixed it with like astringent and God knows what.
Oh my God.
And my friends just put it on themselves. They were fine. And I put it on too. I broke out into hives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Your pediatrician mother must have wanted to kill you.
No, she just, like, didn't care because she sees kids, like, stuff up their nose and, like, ears and butt, like, every day. So she's like, okay, my kid's just as stupid as everyone else's. Yeah.
Okay.
I really want to see his mom in heavy metal t-shirts.
Yeah, and I definitely want to check out Found Footage Festival 8 when it rolls through town next.
Well, for more from Nick Prewer, go to WPR.org/next.
And coming up, we'll hear from Milwaukee-based musician Lex Allen.
You're listening to Entertain Us here on Wisconsin Public Radio.